And more Chopin as an encore this afternoon from Angela Hewitt, the Nocturne, Opus 9, number 2 in E-flat. Next week's Radio 3 lunchtime concert is given by the Belcher Quartet, performing Dvorak and Janacek. But for now, I'll say goodbye and hand you back to Broadcasting House.
A recital given by Angela Hewitt was presented by Fiona Talkington.
This week, the Radio 3 Sunday Concert brings you a star-studded lineup at the Aldborough Festival. Magdalena Kozina, Sir Simon Rattle, and the City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra in a sold-out concert at Messiaen and Mahler. It's a glorious Sunday afternoon listen. Join me, Louise Fryer, for one of the highlights of this year's Aldborough Festival, the Radio 3 Sunday Concert from 2 o'clock.
And now, here on BBC Radio 3, it's time for World Roots. Against the backdrop of a concert by the World Roots Academy protégé and vina player Harry Sivanesan, Lucy Duran and Harry seek out a number of Tamil Sri Lankan centres across London to find out how Sri Lankan communities keep their home culture alive here in the UK.
Here's a shop that I find absolutely irresistible. I'm not going to go in there because it's going to be far too expensive, but there is the most gorgeous 22 carat gold jewellery in this shop.
Yeah.
Very, very Asian jewellery, very Indian jewellery, very South Indian jewellery.
Yes.
And as I look around the street where this jewellery shop is, I can buy saris here, I can buy the images of Hindu deities here, I can send money to South India, I can eat Indian food.
Indian grocery shopping.
Indian grocery shops.
Go to the temple.
Most of the people who are walking by me are wearing saris, and it's a very beautiful sunny day.
It is.
But we're not in India, we're not in South India.
Arguably.
We are in East London. We're in East Ham.
Yes, we are.
And I'm here with Harry Sivanesan, who is our World Roots Academy mentee this year. A marvellous, young, very talented player of the vina, but also an extremely articulate person with very interesting stories about his diverse roots in both Sri Lanka as a Tamil, and also in Carnatic music, which is classical music of South India, and right here in London. It's a great place to start our journey around the discovery of Tamil culture right here in London. You don't have to go to the other side of the world to find Tamil culture.
Yeah.
So what we're going to be doing on today's World Roots with you, Harry, is you're going to be taking us around some of the significant places where you find Tamil Sri Lankans, and some places that have a meaning for you because you spent a lot of time there while you were growing up. And we're going to be finding out about how it is that Tamil Sri Lankans keep their culture alive and their language alive in this country so far away from their homeland. We're also going to be hearing some music from you.
Yes.
Tell me about what we're going to be hearing.
We're going to be hearing a collaboration of North India and South India. And it's a collaboration not only of the stringed instruments, but also of the percussion. So
you will be playing vina.
I'm playing vina. And accompanied on South Indian percussion by Prasanna. And our duo is playing with a North Indian duo. And we have Shaumik Datta playing sarod. And he,
which is another type of lute, plucked lute,
absolutely
from North India.
Yes, he will be accompanied by Shabaz on tabla.
How unusual is it for North and South India to have a musical dialogue?
You know, it's something different. You get to hear more than one style, you know, on the same platform, which is quite refreshing.
Thank you. the place where we are is exactly the same
restaurant.
It's exactly the same name as the place where you took me to in Chennai.
Yeah, that's right.
Which
yeah.
is also great. Yeah. So I'm very much looking forward to this.
Yeah, yeah. This is. I mean, it's part of the same chain.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. And
what,
then
here in East Ham in London.
In East London, yes. It's just done so well in Chennai and all over South India that they're bringing them here. And as you can tell by the amount of people in here, I think it's doing very well for itself.
Well, we were together for nearly 3 weeks in South India, Sri Lanka,
yeah, yeah.
And an incredible trip.
Yes.
Absolutely extraordinary, including going to Jaffna, where
yeah.
your parents are from
Absolutely,
originally,
yeah.
and yes. where you hadn't been back in so many years, and it yeah. was very, very difficult to get in there. But anyway, all of that can be heard on a later World Roots,
yes.
closer to the time of the proms.
Yes, indeed.
Of your prom. But actually, your story, Harry, really begins right here in London.
Yes, it does, yeah.
So, your parents came here. Tell me about how that came about.
Dad came here in his early 20s to study. So that was in the 60s, basically. And he was based up north somewhere, Manchester. He keeps on talking about these technical colleges and things like that. And then he met Mum in the 80s, and then they moved over here to London. And by that time, I think there was a rising Tamil community in London, mostly with people who come to study. However, in the later 80s, or actually even from 82, 83 onwards, there started being a huge exodus of Sri Lankan Tamils out of Sri Lanka because of the civil war. I was born in 82. However, I was actually brought up for 2 years in Sri Lanka, in Jaffna, by my grandparents, my mother's family, and my dad's family, who were there in Jaffna at the time. So I was there during parts of the Civil War, although I was a baby. Yeah, I was a toddler at most. And then I came back when I was 2.5.
To London.
Back to London, yeah. Back to London. And then I came back speaking Tamil.
The thing is that Carnatic music, the classical music of South India that you play,
yeah.
Goes now
beyond
South India.
But yeah, it goes beyond South India. It goes to it goes to a number of countries. It goes to Sri Lanka, it goes to Mauritius, to Malaysia, just wherever, I suppose, those cultures have settled outside South India.
But where does the Tamil culture fit in with Carnatic music and South India and Sri Lanka?
Tamil's one of the South Indian languages, so Carnatic music, Tamil forms a part of Carnatic music, as do the other languages. Kannada, Malayali, Telugu, and also Sanskrit. However, you find Tamils in South India, you find Tamils in Sri Lanka, and they go back generations and generations. However, now the Tamil diaspora is spread everywhere, all around the country. It's a very small Tamil world, it, arguably.
Okay, we've got to interrupt this because, there's a wonderful aluminium tray here. Two of them with gigantic, 2-foot dosas.
Yes.
These kind of thin, crispy
pancakes. Yep.
And then
they're
lots
South
of
Indian
different,
specialities.
Lots of different what?
Chutneys. Yeah, yeah.
Gosh, this really reminds me of South India.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. I think we're going to have to break off our conversation while we have our meal.
Thank you.
துன்பம் நேர்கையில் யாழெடுத்து நீ இன்பம் சேர்க்க மாட்டாயா துன்பம் நேர்கையில் யாழெடுத்து நீ இன்பம் சேர்க்க மாட்டாயா யமக்கின்பம் சேர்க்க மாட்டாயா அன்பில்லானில் ஜில் தமிழில் பாடினே அன்பில்லானின் ஜில் தமிழில் பாடினேன் அல்லல் நீக்க மாட்டாயா கல்நே துன்பம் நேர்கையில் யாழெடுத்து நீ இன்பம் சேர்க்க மாட்டாயா யமக்கின்பம் சேர்க்க மாட்டாயா
in Lewisham and Lewisham has had a Shiva temple for many years. I must have been less than 10 when the temple opened, something like that. So this is my local temple really, yeah.
But we're on a busy high street in Lewisham and there are lots of chain shops with recognisable names and there's nothing that really would indicate that we're in the heart of Tamil culture.
No.
So, but except for this little hidden side entrance,
absolutely,
with a metal gate, and on the gate is hanging the a blue and white sign that says London Sivan Coil.
Yes, yeah.
Which is
London Shiva Temple in Tamil.
This is your temple. This is the temple where you used to come as a kid.
Yeah, yeah. This was our local temple. So, I mean, as a very young child, we used to have to trek to East Dam or to Wimbledon, because those were the only temples. But now there's literally at least 30 Tamil Sri Lankan temples in London. So you've really got your pickings now. But I've been coming here because it is local to me for many years.
And apart from having a temple, it's also got a very kind of vibrant school culture.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Weekend school.
Yeah, it's absolutely a hub for the community in terms of there's a wedding hall, there's a concert hall. So people have their birthdays, their functions, their concerts, everything will happen here. And also Tamil classes, music classes, you name it, religion classes.
Well, Harry, here we are in, I guess it would be like the sort of community hall part of the Tamil temple. Is it a school? Is it a hall?
It's predominantly a temple. However, a temple becomes a kind of a hub for the community. So what they've done is they have a language school here, they have a music school here. So we're sitting in the middle of standing in the middle of a keyboard lesson.
So, but it's a Saturday morning here in Lewisham, and I mean it's very busy.
Yeah, I mean just the entrance to the temple. I mean, there's people walking in and out all the time. I'm hardly here on a weekend, so it's an eye opener for me as well, to be honest.
And one of the things that happens here is you can learn Tamil.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're taking me now to meet the teacher.
Yeah, we'll go to a Tamil language class. We'll hopefully get to meet the kids, and we'll also meet their teacher.
Come on, off we go.
Jaleeswaram, page 41.
These are two of the students who are learning Tamil. You're here on a Saturday morning to learn Tamil, or do you already speak Tamil?
I already speak Tamil, but I just want to perfect it, so I come here.
And how about you?
I can speak Tamil. It's just to perfect my writing.
How difficult a language is it? It looks impossible to me.
I've been learning from Sri Lanka, so I have more confidence to learn it, so I know most of it.
So you've been to Sri Lanka, and so you practiced in Sri Lanka.
I was born there, and I grew up there, yeah.
You grew up there?
Yeah, I just came here 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how about you?
I was born in France, but I've been learning Tamil from, like, when I was little. So I just can't wait to perfect my writing, but otherwise it's all right, it's easy, it's just...
Because you sound very South London to me.
Well...
You are South Londoner.
Yeah, I live here, but I only came from France like 3 years ago.
Wow, so you speak French as well?
Yeah.
So French, English and Tamil. And I see you're both dressed in different kinds of Indian garb, very beautiful turquoise colours. Is this how you always dress, or do you also dress kind of South Londoner?
We come here with this dress, but then when we go outside, we're just normal dressed.
Yeah.
Will you say something to me in Tamil, please?
I'm going to say, hello, how are you?
Okay.
Vanakkam, eppadi irukkringa?
And what am I supposed to reply?
Naan nalla irukkiren.
Naan nalla irukkiren.
Yeah.
So, Harry, did you also learn Tamil in this kind of a school?
Yeah, my parents tried with me for a couple of years. and I got as far as learning the alphabet, and that was about it. And then I was take it out.
Really? What, yeah. For being a bad student?
No, just because of a lack of time.
so how do you think the two girls are doing?
Oh, they speak Tamil really well.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they speak with a Sri Lankan accent?
Yeah. Do you know, a Sri Lankan accent, I maybe didn't appreciate what a Sri Lankan accent was as much as till when we just went to Jaffna. But yeah, it's definitely a Sri Lankan accent.
And so, how much of your lives revolves around Tamil culture?
Mostly we speak Tamil and we have Tamil food. Mostly we dress up as Tamil people. We go to festivals, that's like Tamil people and weddings and stuff. So, mostly into that culture more than South End kind of stuff. Yeah.
I would say the same. Mostly we'll dress up like when we come here, or like temples, or like weddings, we dress up as like Tamil clothes, and we eat Tamil food. We speak Tamil at home, So.
Listen to Tamil music?
Yeah, we sing Tamil music, yeah. Both of us.
Do you?
Yeah, what kind of? What South kind of Indian music? Classical music here.
Carnatic music.
Yeah.
Ah.
And we both are doing grade 3 at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
I mean, we're going to go on to grade 4.
Grade 4,
yeah. We've done grade 3.
But grade 4 in Western classical music or in Tamil music?
Tamil music.
Ah. So, can you give me a song that you're doing for grade 3?
Okay. Do you want me to sing?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Badabina mledupani vanarukalo chanarani suruchirapam paraveni suranudakal yani nirupama shubakunalola niradachaya pradashila bharata priya ranganayaki vanchita pala tayagi sarasija jana janani jaya jaya jaya.
Oh, that's really it. Lovely. Well, I would pass you.
Sariga pada sarina pada bhagare.
I am Yogaraja. I am in charge of the school, which is conducted on Saturdays at our temple. And we teach cultural subjects as well as Tamil language and religion. We have over 120 students attending on Saturdays.
Does this mean that in the new generation there's a very strong continued interest in Tamil culture here in South London?
Yes. In Lewisham alone, there are 4 Tamil schools running. And in London, we have over 50 or 60, you know, supplementary schools like this in other parts of London.
That's extraordinary. So is this because there's a very big Tamil community here, or is it because Tamils are particularly interested in continuing their culture?
To keep an language as old as Tamil, of course, first credit goes to the Tamils because they would like to keep it going. Otherwise, you cannot claim to be the oldest language and it's still living language. But apart from that, we have about 300,000 Tamils.
Living in London?
Yes, London.
Just in London?
Yeah, just in London.
That's a lot of Tamils.
That's a lot of Tamils.
That's a lot of Tamils.
You always run into a Tamil wherever you go.
Yeah. Tamils in other parts of UK are less than 20,000, so
they are spread
up to Scotland, but they is very sparsely spread.
So you have a very important role to play with a school like this.
Whether I have a role to play or not, but schools have a role to play in keeping the language and culture and the, you know, unity of the Tamil people going.
We've come up some stairs, and
yes,
we're now
in a
kind of a temple.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's as if we're in Sri Lanka. It's very much a Tamil temple.
Temple, yeah. I mean, this is what we call the Bala Mandapam. They're actually building a traditional South Indian temple, which will open in about a month's time. So
there's a model of it right behind us.
Yeah, there's a model of it. It's absolutely outstanding what they're building. However, for now, the deities are housed in what we call a Bala Mandapam, which is a temporary temple whilst their main home's being built.
Thank you. the Shruti box has just started.
Yeah, the Shruti box has just
started. So what are we going to have now?
We have here Odavar Aya, who he sings a very specific kind of music called Pannise. And this is very similar to Carnatic music, as old, even if not older, to Carnatic music. Has the same roots, sounds very similar, but it is very temple. Very, very temple-based. And he's an expert at what he does. He's come from a lineage of Odavars who sing this music.
Amazing. Yeah. Here in Lewisham.
Yes.
Who would have thought in South London?
Trichitrambalam Nama Parvati Padaye Aragara Mahadeva Unnamulai உமையாளோடும் உடனாகிய ஒருவன் பெண்ணாகிய பெருமான் மலை திருமாமணி திகழ மன்னார்ந்தன அருவி திரள்மழலை மூழவதிரும் அண்ணாமலை தொழுவார் வினை வழுவ வண்ணம் அருமே கடையவனேனை கருணையினால் கலந்து ஆண்டு கொண்ட விடையவனே விட்டெடுதி கண்டாய் விரல் வேங்கையின் தோல் உடையவனே மண்ணும் உத்தர கோதமங்கைக்கு அரசே சடையவனே தளர்ந்தேன் எம்பிரான் என்னை தாங்கிக் கொள்ளே கற்றவர் விழுங்கும் கற்பகக்கனியை கரையில கருணை மா கடலை மற்றவர் அறியா மாணிக்க மலையை மதிப்பவர் மன மணிவிளக்கை செற்றவர் புறங்கள் செற்ற எம் சிவனை திருவீழிமிடலை வீற்றிருந்த கொற்றவன் தன்னை கண்டு கண்டு உள்ளம் குளிர என் கண் குளிர்ந்தனவே குழல் ஒலியாழ் ஒலி கூத்தொலி ஏத்தொலி எங்கும் குழாம் பெருகி விட ஒலி விண்ணளவும் சென்று விம்மி மிகு திருவாரூரில் மழவிடையார்க்கு வழி வழியாழாய் மனம் செய்குடி பிறந்த பழ அடியாரோடும் கூடியம்மானுக்கே பல்லாண்டு 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 கூறுதுமே வேதனரி தழைத்தோங்க மிகு சைவத்துறை விளங்க பூத பரம்பரை பொலிய புனிதவாய் மலர்ந்தழுத
சீதவளவயற்புகலி திருஞான சம்பந்தர் பாதமலர் தலை கொண்டு திருத்தொண்டு பரவுவ. திருச்சிற்றம்பலம் நம பார்வதி பதையே அரகர மகாதேவா.
Harry, what's up? You've got a book here.
I do.
Which looks like a sort of, yeah, it looks like a telephone, a big fat telephone directory, but in fact it's Tamil.
It's Tamil. It's, well, it's not written in Tamil, it's written in English with some Tamil script, but this is what we call Tamil pages.
Amazing.
So yeah, so this is a directory of every, I don't know, not every, but whoever's wanted to list has listed their Tamil
estate
businesses.
Estate agents, grocers, imports and exports.
Artists.
Places of worship, lots of places of worship.
There's loads of churches, loads of mosques, loads of temples.
Printers, property repairs, removal services.
And then you've got
all
music stuff.
Do you have to be Tamil to use it?
No,
I could probably find
no.
lots of
you can
great
find loads
stuff
of things.
In here.
Yeah.
Spicy Palace, that's another one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got everything from astrologers to builders to plumbers to...
Astrologers.
Yeah.
That's what we need. We need an astrologer.
Fingers crossed we'll find one. Let's actually skip through it and
is
see
there,
who we can
okay,
find.
Is there actually a section
yes,
in,
there
the yellow,
there
in the
yellow,
in the telephone direct Tamil telephone directory?
For astrologers.
For astrologers, okay.
Yeah, you'll find it under
Artists?
Wedding services.
Oh, under wedding services. Why
yes.
under wedding services?
Because an astrologer will very typically match two horoscopes to see if they if their future bodes well. As even I did.
But
with
you're
my
already
missus.
Married, so there'd be no point in your consulting an astrologer.
Yes, but he can consult on anything. Anything worldly. Absolutely anything. As long as I have my my date of birth.
Can we
and
find
time
out how you'll do in the proms?
We can surely ask him, I suppose.
Okay. Let's do it. Let's try and phone an astrologer.
We can phone someone. Definitely.
Okay, let's get in the car and,
okay.
and ring some astrologers.
Okay, fine. Okay, no problem. Thanks.
Bye. Uh-oh, I didn't like the sound of sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, why?
Sorry, because the astrologer priest that we were meant to see is had prayers somewhere else in London and he cannot get back to where we're meant to meet him in time. I'm assuming he's stuck in traffic.
He's stuck in traffic?
That's my assumption, yeah.
Oh no, the astrologer's stuck in traffic. Oh, that's such a disappointment.
I know.
Oh well. Well, we'll just have to wait for the prom to see how you actually do, Harry. And we assume that you're going to do beautifully.
All right.
So why don't we listen to some music since we're driving?
Definitely.
What have you got?
What's playing at the moment? I've got this track. Well, actually not a track, a whole CD. It's made by some Malaysian Tamils, and it's kind of cool because they've taken my teacher's songs and they've remixed them, so they're kind of modern, sound almost, you know, Bollywood, but they're classical songs. It's quite nice.
Move. கல்வர் வினை அழியும் திருவலநல்லை நகர் திருமுருகையா உந்தல் திருவலநல்லை நகர் திருமுருகையா உந்தல் திருபடி நம்பினேன் திக்கு வேறில்லை ஐயா திருவடி நம்பினேன் திக்கு வேறில்லை ஐயா முகம் பாறையா சல்முக
The BBC asked that when we went on our cultural experiences, we took something out of them. So the piece from tonight is something that I was inspired by when I was actually in Jaffna. My parents, my guru's hometown, and it was the Nadaswaram. And the Nadaswaram is very famous for playing the Mallari. It's a very specific piece which is played in temples. It's set very traditionally in Raga Gambiranata. So we'll be playing a Mallari inspired by our travels to Jaffna. And it's set in Raga Gambiranata and Thala Adi, a cycle of 8 beats. Thank you.
part of a concert given by the World Roots Academy protégé and veena player Hari Sivanesan, who is performing at the Bhavan Centre in London in May with Sumik Datta on the sarod, which is an Indian fretless lute. And the next part of the World Roots Academy story will be broadcast next month, and that's when we'll hear what happened when Hari Sivanesan and Lucy Duran headed to the north of Sri Lanka itself. Meanwhile, next week, there's a chance to hear again the first of two reports from the islands of Cape Verde.
The Bottom Line is back with a new series of business conversations.
If you're not innovative, and those new graduates are not a next generation of business leaders, there isn't a future.
I always think the economy is a bit like a rubber band that's been pinged. We've had a really deep recession. It's pinged back the other way, and now it's going to decline a little bit, and then it will come back again.
As a citizen of the world, I'm a little worried. As a business person, I see the opportunities with excitement.
We have no right to deny them the opportunity to be greedy.
Evan Davis presents a new series of The Bottom Line on BBC Radio 4, Saturday afternoons at 5:30 and Thursday evenings at 8:30.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's 4 o'clock, and now we have time for Jazz Library. Here's Alan Shipton.
On June the 14th, 2008, the Swedish pianist Esbjörn Svensson tragically drowned in an accident in Stockholm Harbour, robbing the world of one of the most influential and different pianists to have appeared on the jazz scene for many a long year. In today's programme, I'm joined by John L. Walters to look back at the remarkable career of Esbjörn Svensson and his trio EST. So, John, let's start by just thinking about what was special, what was new about the trio when they burst on the scene roughly 10 years before his death.
I think there are lots of things that made EST a really special group for the jazz scene and also for the wider audience that sort of would like to like jazz but doesn't quite know where to start. I think I once referred to them as the new Dave Brubeck Quartet because they seemed to have that ability to come up with a tune that was almost like a pop hit. But when you went to see them live, it was the real thing. They actually could improvise, they could really dig into those tunes and make the most of them. And they were very interested in communicating. They often played and performed in the manner of a rock band, even a stadium band, but they never lost sight of that essence of jazz, you know, the deep, dark blue centre of jazz.
We're going to start with a perfect example of why everybody sat up and took notice when they began to record. This is from their first album to be released in this country, EST Plays Monk. And it's not your classic Thelonious Monk performance by any means. It's a version of I Mean You.
This was the first time I ever heard EST, and I was really knocked out by it. And it reminded me a little bit of the way that when Riverside Records started to promote Thelonious Monk, I think the first release they did was Monk Plays Duke. I think their thinking was that if you take a quirky performer like Monk and get him to play Duke Ellington tunes that everyone recognises, you sort of explain what's going on. And I felt something similar was happening with the ACT label released Plays Monk.
from EST Plays Monk on the ACT label, recorded by the trio of Esbjørn Svensson piano, Don Berglund on double bass and Magnus Ostrom drums in 1996. And John Walters, my guest here on Jazz Library, this was, as you say, something that made us both sit up and take notice. I think it's the next album, from Gagarin's point of view, that really showed what the band could do in terms of its own music, playing what it was about. And the track that we've elected to play, Dodge the Dodo, became a sort of metaphor for what the band was about. On the one hand, sort of drum and bassy grunge, and on the other, wonderful supreme romanticism.
Yes, and I suppose you could say the title is about avoiding the death of jazz or the possible extinction of jazz by following the old rules and the old games. It's worth remembering, though, that the band had already been together quite a long time. Magnus and Esbjørn were childhood friends and had played in a punk band together. And the band had been pretty active from the early 90s, playing in their own style. So when they did the Monk album, they actually started with their own material and then adapted the Monk tune to their own style. I once asked Esbjørn whether they'd made a conscious effort to do unusual arrangements of Monk. He said, no, so that's the only way we could play them. We couldn't play them any other way. That's how it came out.
Well, I suppose this is a window into what they were doing.
I think that Magnus Ostrom's drums are a really important feature of the way they play, and I'm always impressed by the way he can go from a whisper to a scream, from very light brushes-led playing to really intense powerhouse rock and roll, and yet it's always changing and shifting. It's a very, very contemporary approach to drumming that I think a lot of the really good jazz drummers on the American scene haven't quite understood or got into. I think there's a European approach to playing groove-based drums, which he exemplifies.
Dodge the Dodo from the album From Gagarin's Point of View by EST, the Esbjørn Svendsen Trio, recorded in 1999. John, I think that became their sort of signature tune. I remember being at concerts all over Europe where they played and people would shout out and request this from the audience.
Yeah, well, it's almost like a sort of slightly warped TV theme, isn't it? You can imagine sort of avant-garde game show having that as a theme tune.
We shouldn't overlook the fact that they could, on their day, play absolutely seat-of-the-pants, nail-bitingly exciting jazz. And the next track that we've jointly suggested to display that side of their work comes from the album Good Morning, Susie Soho, and it's called Providence. And I remember talking to Esbjørn about this and saying, how did you get this feeling of live excitement in the studio? And he said, well, it was always like that when we played. We just enjoyed playing together.
Yes, if you listen right to the end, you can hear the little chuckle as they finish. I think with this album, you saw the band really being confident about what they were doing. And I got the sense there was a little bit of anxiety with them and with some of their circle that they weren't playing real jazz. They weren't swinging enough. And I think this shows they could.